Just thank you. Thank you so much for everything you've done. And it's been a blessing. And how to say it more, thank you. It's like the Lord, you know, how good He's been to you. What can you do? And try and do your best. And try and be a good example over there in the Philippines and do our best and bear fruit. And so just thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor, for all the preaching. It's been really good this last month and been an encouragement for us to be back home. And my parents, thank you. Letting us stay there and putting up with us. I can be a jerk sometimes, believe it or not. My crude humor or whatever I would say, my joking, being mean sometimes, and, you know, just flesh and all that. But thank you very much. I've enjoyed staying with you guys. Open up to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and John chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and John chapter 1. Lydia loves to play this game, hide and go seek now. Yeah, she's terrible at it. She brings a flashlight with her. She's scared of that whatever, and she doesn't want to be out there by herself. She'll go with the flashlight and hide. It's pretty easy to find her. But we like to play that game, and she loves to us hide, and she's scared to come find me. I don't know why, but anyway, I titled this message, God's Way of Playing, Hide and Go Seek. Deuteronomy chapter 4, go through a little bit. God's trying to give him a warning here and leaving him with, if this happens, you corrupt yourselves in verse 25. I'm talking about corrupting yourselves and you go off and go after graven images. And I to take you out and leave you to yourself, and you go after these graven images and utterly destroy your land. And just he's testifying them against them, some dangers that'll come. But then he says in verse 28, and there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And it's just amazing, the Lord, wherever you're at, the Jews got in some pretty terrible places. You read of some of the guys, Manasseh, the worst king ever lived. You can't get much worse than him. And he sought the Lord and found him. At the end of his life there, he found some reprieve there. But the Lord's open, and Jesus makes one of the best statements, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And just an amazing God we have. But we're going to look at this a little bit and ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, just thank you again so much for being able to be up here and, Lord, preach your words. And this book is just everything we got here. It's just how we know you, how we have come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And thank you, Lord, just for the ties that bind through this book and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just ask your blessing on this morning. No, this is what you want me to preach. And so I just ask you to help me clear my mind of all the packing and things still need to do back home. And just ask, Lord, your blessing on your words. Just be able to think about you and nothing else. And just spend some time with you. Thank you so much, Lord, for how good you've been to this church, and please bless them here. Please help them to quit. Help them keep going on. Help them, Lord, to just keep after you. I pray none of them would end up in this situation like this chapter and far out from you, but I thank you for your mercy and ask a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stop all this crying stuff. Get on. Verse 31, you see, the Lord thy God is a merciful God. And what's with all thy heart and with all thy soul? And with all thy heart and all thy soul, he sees a little bit in verse 30. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. Part of that seeking the Lord with all your heart is going into the Lord. Lord, I want to find you, and whatever you say, I'm going to do. Lord, I want to be obedient to whatever you have for me to do. And that's where it gets, the rubber meets the road with Asa. He comes in, the Lord tells him you need to get out the idols. It's some different places where he met some people, and find the Lord, they'll tell you to do something you didn't really want to do. And so seeking the Lord with all your heart, He can tell if your heart's in it or not. You know, it's Him, of course. But He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, in verse 31, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which He sware unto them. Just amazing how He, just His open arms, how the Lord will seek you and want you to seek Him. Go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I'm not there, I got my bookmarks in other places. But John chapter 1, this is John the Baptist, of course, just baptizing Jesus Christ. And verse 29, he just said, this is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And in verse 35, you're going to see two of his disciples here. And we'll just start reading verse 35. The next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. This is a pretty interesting little passage here. Just these two disciples, they're watching. They're standing here with John. They're John's disciples. One of them is Andrew, and the other, I'm not sure who it is. But with two of John's disciples here, and they're with him, and they see John had come baptizing and preaching, and see him as a prophet and called of God. And here comes Jesus. And Jesus is the one who he's laying the path before, and he tells, this is the one. This is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And this is the one we're looking for. This is the Messiah. This is who we're, this is the one who's going to cure you. This is the one who's going to fix your situation, basically, in a sense. This is God. And here he comes, and these two disciples saw the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Some kind of manifestation of the Spirit coming down on him. They saw that. They see this man here, and they're thinking. And they say, well, let's follow him. And they start following him, and Jesus turns around and says, What seek ye? And they come up with this weird question. They said, Where do you live? So where do you live? And you just imagine the Jews here, they're looking for this Messiah, they're looking for this king, and here comes this man. Born of a virgin, Mary, they know who Mary is, they know who Joseph is, they know he's just a carpenter. There's no kingly, just majesty upon him, he's just a man. He's not comely, he's not like this superstar, he's not a... nothing's real special about him. He's just a normal man. You look in Philippians chapter 2, you see what God did. He confused him. He confused him by doing this. God loves to confound the wise and make the weak. But in Philippians chapter 2, you know the verses. But in Philippians 2, of course, this is the mind that he wants in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And here's God, he's coming down, and they're looking for God. Here's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Where do you live? Kind of like, are you from up there? Where do you live? And the answer is found in verse 14. The answer is found, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's come down here, he's living among you. He's living right here. He said, come and see. You want to know where I live? You know what the Lord was looking though? He was looking for an interest. He turned around and said, "What seek you? What are you looking for?" And you know what? They said, "Where do you live? I just want to know a little bit more where you live. What a little bit more about you." You know what he said? "Come and see." And he abode with them that day. They abode with him, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, either 10 o'clock or, 12 or 3 o'clock. I think more 10 o'clock, a Gentile time there. But anyway, it spent the whole day with him. And then Andrew, of course, runs and finds Simon Peter, but just an interest. Just an interest. The Lord's looking for an interest. You remember Moses, he's walking along in the desert, and he sees this bush. And he decides in his heart, he's, "I'm going to turn aside and see why this bush is burning." And God's in this bush, you know, he can't really see, there's this fire. But when the Lord, he said he looked out of that bush, and when he saw, he turned aside, that's when he talked to him. Look back in Luke 24, here's there on the road to Emmaus, just back one page. And here in verse 28, they're on the road, these two disciples, they're talking amongst themselves. And Jesus comes up and meets them. And in verse 28, they were drawn nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. He was just going to keep going. And then they said, no, come stay with us. And you know what? He revealed himself to them. You know what? God wants to reveal himself to you. He's looking for an interest. I remember as a little kid, I loved to make airplanes, and my dad's shop, wood shop, I made airplanes and stuff, and I'd take them to church as a little kid and fly them around. And this one guy saw me, and he said, "You like airplanes?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I love airplanes." He said, "Why don't you come with me on Monday?" He took me over to Northwest Airlines at the Minneapolis airport, took me through all the hangar bays up on the 747-400. He took me into the cockpit. This guy, I don't know what he was, a big wig. I was just a little kid. I thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread, but you know why I ended up getting to take that big tour? Because of an interest. Just a small little interest. I had interest in planes. You know what the Lord's looking for? Just a simple interest. Nothing new to you. It's just He's looking for you to have an interest in Him. One of the really neat verses, 1 Chronicles 16:11. Imagine that. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face. Continually. You know, sometimes the sad fact, we lose our interest. You know, get it back. You know, this book, it's amazing. The pastor is an excellent example for you. He keeps his interest in this book. He keeps bringing new stuff to you all the time. He keeps feeding you over and over new things, new angles of looking at things. You know, don't lose your interest. Don't lose your interest. If you're looking for God, have an interest. He's looking for an interest. Military, I remember, if you remember any of my testimony, just the first time a Sunday school teacher started making fun of me because I had a King James Bible. For the first time in my life, I went to God and said, "God, why do I have this Bible?" He's looking for an interest. Looking for someone to come along and say, "Why, Lord, where am I going to die? Where am I going to spend eternity when I die?" He likes those questions, you know. He'll bring an answer. He's looking for an interest. Looking for someone to come, say, "You want some of my words?" You have the Bible. You have the Word of God, and this is the interest you need to have. And it says to seek it as silver and search it for, or it's for hid treasures. This is the greatest interesting book you'd ever find. It just never runs out. And you can keep going through it, and the interest, you go to Bible school even for 3 years, and after that, it's still just interesting upon interesting upon interesting. If you don't lose that interest. But you know what? People just aren't interested. Right? That is just all over the world. You try, "Hey, you want to know how to get to heaven?" You know, they're not interested. God's looking for an interest. Just a simple, plain interest. Why are the Bibles different? Lord, would you show me why this happened in my life? What, did this happen because of something I did? Lord, is it just happening, something you want to show me? Lord, is this good thing you did? Is this something, what do you want me to do with it? Lord, just, I want to hear from you. Lord, I want to find out what more about you. Lord, study what holiness. How do you find that out? Lord, would you show me how to fear you? Lord, would you show me how to love others? Lord, forgiveness. I don't know how to forgive. I just can't find it. Would you show me? Lord, I want to do like what you said. Would you show me? Would you help me? He's looking for an interest. Just a simple interest. Here he is, a man speaking parables. Just confounded scores of people. There's multitudes of people. He's speaking parables to them. Here's God as a man, and he ends up dying on a cross. Just confuses them. And he's looking for that interest. Looking for that one to step out and say, Lord, where do you live? Lord, where's your words? Is this your book, your words? I know most of you believe that. If there's someone in here that doesn't know, this book, it's a wonderful book. Teenagers, you find your interest. If you can get that interest in this book, you'll find the neatest things in here. You'll find the most wonderful, precious, just things you could just spend in time with Him. Just learning who He is, just a wonderful interest to have. Look over at John chapter 4. He asks first, what seek ye? John chapter 4, and start in verse 27. He's talking to the woman at the well. And in verse 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Here they are, the disciples coming up, and he's talking to this woman, and what are you seeking? They didn't say it, but they were thinking it. When no man said, what seekest thou? They're wondering, why are you talking with this woman? This is a Samaritan woman. Most of you know the background with the Babylonians and Sepharvaim and different kin mixing in with the Samaritans, the Jews. They're half-breeds and basically outcasts. Just people you don't talk to. We don't have dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you talking with them? But Jesus, of course, He's seeking. And He's seeking you long before you ever seek Him. God's not hiding. He's everywhere. But He plays this game called hide and go seek. He hides Himself to see if you'd be interested. To manifest Himself to you, He'll put up warning signs. He'll put up paths in your way because He wants you to have an interest to start seeking Him. To start looking for Him. Lord, are you under a rock? Well, no, He's not under a rock. He's right here. But you know what? If you don't open your spiritual eyes, you're not going to see Him, right? He's hiding in a sense because He wants you to look for Him. And here He is. He hides Himself in the burning bush on the road to Emmaus. They don't know who He is, and just to try and get an interest of Him. And here He's looking for this woman. In verse 23, they missed what He's looking for. They weren't here for this, but He tells this woman what He's looking for. Verse 23, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You know what God's looking for? Simple thing on earth, He's looking for worship. He's looking to be worshiped. He's looking to be praised. He's looking to be honored. He's looking to be glorified. He's looking for sinners. This Samaritan woman was a sinner. He came to this woman, and he's seeking a sinner to worship Him. And they worshiped in this mount, and he's telling them, the hour cometh, you're not going to worship in this mountain. You just worship in spirit and in truth. He's looking for people to worship Him. And look in verse 40. He ends up spending 2 days. He tarries with them 2 days because he's looking for people to worship Him. Many of those Samaritans, in verse 41, believed. Verse 39, some more believed. Of course, he's looking for people to worship him. God's looking for sinners. Are you looking for sinners? I know you are. Most of you are. Just, you know what? That's what He's looking for. He's just looking for people to worship Him. He's looking for you to be a mouthpiece to tell people about Him so that they can worship Him. I remember just on the street, I was preaching down in Pensacola, and I don't know if I've said this story here before. This guy, Gary, there was another guy, a pizza guy on the corner. He was holding a pizza sign, ended up talking with him. He was out there a couple times, ended up buying us water. He was a Christian, and he thought it was pretty neat. Well, one of the days I came out there, and I was preaching, and it was a different guy, and he had his headphones on a little bit, and he's just, you know, holding the sign, you know, the pizza sign, come get your pizza. And I was just started preaching. Apparently, he turned off his headphones, and after a little bit, he looked over at me and said, "What are you doing?" And preaching. And I went back to preaching. And after a little bit after that, I stopped again after the intersection change, and he said, "What are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm Bible-believing Baptist." And I went back to preaching. And I was just thinking a little bit after that, and the next time I stopped and said, "What are you?" He said, "I'm a Catholic." I said, "Okay." And I went and finished preaching. And after that, I ended up walking over there, and the guy got saved. You know why? Just an interest. He's looking for something. He said, "You know what? I've been thinking about it. I'm not sure what's going on. I've been thinking, and the Lord just put me on the street corner that time when he was out there." And the Lord's looking. He's looking for sinners. He's seeking sinners. He came, that's why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his interest. Look at Isaiah 65. Most of you know this verse. Isaiah 65:1, just a good reminder. Isaiah 65:1. He says, "I am sought of them that ask not for me." That's me. "I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name." Here Jesus Christ comes to us Gentiles over here and says, "Behold, behold me. Would you look? Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Would you look? I know I'm a Jew, but would you look?" "Yes, Lord. I'll look." He's looking for sinners. He'll go to us. Come find us. Why? Because his own rejected him. He's looking for sinners to serve him. He's looking for sinners to worship him. And look at John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And this is Judas coming into the garden. The first one was, "What seek ye?" And then, "What seekest thou?" The fourth or third one, here Judas in verse 3, "Having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." Now this is another one of those fun passages with Jesus Christ. Just amaze you. I love the book of John. Just, you know, how it goes through. Most of you just, it's neat the things he does. Here he does. He takes his voice and just knocks them all backwards. He says, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "I am he." And they all fall back down. And when they get back up, he says it again, "Whom seek ye?" Now at this point, you think you would change maybe your answer then. Not just Jesus of Nazareth. Maybe this is someone a little bit more... Maybe this is Jesus, the Son of God. You know, maybe you would change your answer a little bit here, but of course there's the indifference. They had the interest, the interception. This is the indifference. They don't care. They don't care at all, and they're coming. And Jesus Christ says, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "We're looking you to kill you." They just want to outdo you. They have no interest in the truth. It's worshiping God in spirit and truth. They're interested in their interests, their own interests. They seek the honor that cometh from men and not from God only. That is the problem that they have. Their interest is not for God, it's for themselves. And just one of the indifference, it's easy to get seeking the Lord for the wrong reasons. Seeking the Lord, here they are, they're looking for the Lord. But they're looking for Him the wrong way. They're looking for Him the wrong reasons. They should have just stayed on the ground and stayed there. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, you can knock me down with your words. You know, what will you have me to do? Be like Paul. Just stay down there. Not get up. Just stay on your feet until he lifts you up. No, they didn't do that. They just were indifferent. They were like Cain, just bringing that offering and saying, "God, my offering's just as good as Abel's." They're coming like David, even with the ark, and trying to do a good thing, but not after the way God did wanted them to do it. He said, "I sought him not after the due order." Like that prayer in James, coming to God, seeking after your own lusts, holding after your own flesh, after your own desires, after what you want. You know, people want to worship God. But they want to worship Him without Bible. I remember one church we were at is a community church. Well, even they called themselves Baptists in a sense, but they took it off the sign, of course. They had this nice plexiglass pulpit and these screens all over the place. And you know what his message was? It was about a 10-minute message on the Rubik's Cube, whatever it is. And this order, you know, how you change it. No Bible. I don't think he even had, if I remember right, there wasn't even a Bible up there with him. And that was the pastor. You can't worship God without the Bible. You can't worship God without prayer. You can't worship God without the fear and the humility that He requires. You can't worship God without the right songs, without the right heart rejoicing and praising Him in spirit and in truth. And people try to worship Him, but they worship Him the wrong way. Here, the Lord's looking for people to worship Him. And just encourage them, just keep worshiping Him the right way. Just keep going on. Look at John chapter 6, back a couple pages. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." You know, looking to God for the right reasons. Lord, what can I do for you today? Not what, Lord, can you do for me? Right? You know, just the simple things like that. Just to keep in check, how are you coming to God? Lord, how am I coming to you and worshiping God? And Lord, is there other things that are getting in the way? God wants you to seek Him and seek Him only. And things get in the way, just the world. They come in, and you know, I remember just sitting there with my work, and my work becoming important to me. More important to me if I didn't get to work, if I wasn't doing this, if I wasn't doing that, or just at the right time, that thing would consume me. Just a reminder. Keep God first. Just keep God first. He says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Seek Him first before anything else. You hear it over and over. I can't really preach much better than Pastor's been preaching this last month. Just keep Him first. Don't give Him leftovers. Don't bring Him what's left. And so hard in this world, like He was saying this morning, is how easy it is to become just slack and easy. How easy it would be, what I forget even what he was saying, the word he used, but boy, just keep him first. Go back, like this last part, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. This is Mary Magdalene, of course, coming to the tomb, and she came early looking for Jesus. They're all torn up. Their Messiah is dead. He was buried, and they watched him get buried into the ground, and they don't know what's going on. And he's looking the Bible, just what they're thinking and stuff, and you see how much they're torn up, just what they're going through. And they didn't have, of course, the whole New Testament. They didn't have the book of John in this spot. They didn't see the end of it. And here comes Mary Magdalene looking for Jesus. And she finds this empty tomb, and she comes back and tells Peter and John, and they come running, and they end up in verse 10, going home unto their own home. They leave. But you find Mary in verse 11. Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And see a two angels in white sitting. Excuse me. The one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. And I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She found him. You know what? Here she is. She's at the sepulcher, and two angels show up. She didn't want the angels. He said, I want my Lord. Okay, you know, if two angels showed up to you, what would you ask them? You know, I have a few questions, you know. I'd bring up to some angels here, you know what? Where's my Lord? That's all she wanted to know. She wanted to know where Jesus was. She was looking for him, and she wasn't leaving that sepulcher. She started weeping and crying, and here in verse 15, Jesus comes up and says, Whom seekest thou? She said, I'm looking for my Lord. And he only had to say one word. And she found him. You know, it's amazing how God hears tears. Just get down, Lord. I need to find you again. Lord, I've left my first love. Lord, I'm getting away from you. I just get carried away with the things of this world. And, you know, the thorns and the things, they come up. They choke the word sometimes. Lord, I just want to find you. Lord, and I'm not leaving until I find you. You know, Mary stayed back where the last place she knew where he was. She went back to it. I'll tell you one place. Some people, you're in church today, but I wish they would just get back to church where they found him. Because now they're out there. They're miserable. Boy, if you just come back, you know, maybe something would spark back up. They lose him. You never lose God, but sometimes it feels he just withdraws himself. He hides himself. Why? Just to get your interest back in him. Get you looking for him. Lord, I want you more than life itself. Here's Mary. She's just, Lord, I just want to be where you are. She didn't want anything of the angels. She didn't give me this, give me that. No, there's nothing but just, Lord, I just want to be with you. I just want to be where you are. If you're where Jesus is, what else you got to worry about? Think about going to the Philippines. How the fears and all this stuff comes in, worming around. Our birth certificates didn't come. You know, Pastor preached a good thing, that necessities. You know, Lord, I need to have this birth certificate. Yes, Lord will take care of it. You're just where He is. I know where I'm supposed to be doing this. I know He's right here. He's with me. The comfort's all there. He's taking me through this. Lord, He's good. He's good where He is. You know, sometimes the broken, contrite heart, just getting down, Lord, I want to get close to You. That's what Mary had. Whom seekest thou? I don't know what the connection's all at the what seek ye, what seekest thou, whom seek ye, whom seekest thou, but I sure thought it was neat. Pretty interesting. And Lord, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. call ye upon him while he is near. He's right here. If you're just a little bit away from him, he's looking for you. He's looking for just an interest. Open up that Bible again and search it like you did maybe a year ago. Maybe even a month ago. Maybe this month has just been difficult. Maybe this month just some trials and tribulations have come in. Maybe just some hardships. Maybe things have just been going well and you've just kind of forgot. He's seeking you. Let's pray. Father, just thank you so much for seeking sinners. And Lord, what you did for sinners. Lord, all the obstacles you go through to get our attention. Lord, just the people you've sent in our way, the path, and Lord, the witnesses you've sent. Lord, hitting us on the head that we can't see. And thank you for seeking sinners. Help us to just, the basic thing, just keep seeking you. Keeping you first. In Jesus' name.
Stay with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for just a few minutes. Invitation is pretty straightforward and open. If you never trusted Christ as your Savior, sure hope you might come. Let somebody here show you out of the Bible privately how to be saved. Probably answer most of the questions that you have if you just will come. There's something to be convicted about. It's for us Christians to always be seeking the Lord as fervently as He deserves. It's just so easy to fall back on yesterday's fellowship and things going pretty good this week, and so we lose the motivation, I guess, to get down and really dig and really long for the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. How's your seeking going? The Bible verses, the chapters, pages that you read on a hopefully daily habitual basis, how often you hear the voice of the Lord in that? How often do you get something fresh? Not something new necessarily, but something fresh, a new impression of what I need to be thinking about today. Not a vocal voice echoing in your eardrum, but a voice nonetheless that echoes through your spirit. I don't know how you'd survive without that. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. And what you saw this morning is that He wants to be found. Find a songbook and stand to our feet. Number 286, 286. You may even know the song by heart by now. Thank you. be back tonight at 5:30 for prayer if you want to come. Otherwise, 6 o'clock service. And obviously, it's probably your last chance to say goodbye to Dave and Cassie. I hope that you'll keep them in your prayers. I'm sure you will. It's hard to have somebody leave, but it's good to have somebody leave. So anyway, you guys make sure and say goodbye and keep them in prayer tomorrow. It's going to be an awfully long day the next couple of days. So, and probably the Kehoes as well, and Daniel and Stay says they'll be mourning some losses there. But it's good. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we are grateful for what we get the chance to be a part of. And glad the Word of God is fresh when we seek it. With our whole heart, it's good to see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith, of course, Lord, in the book. And to hear the voice of Christ in our ears as we labor in the Word. Lord, thank you for the message this morning. I pray that you'd help it to be a help to us and a help to them as well. Lord, we love you. We need you. We pray you'll bless the Letharts and their travels here and just all the adjustments that have to take place these next days and weeks as they shift their entire lives to a foreign place. Lord, I pray you'd help them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good morning, everybody. See you tonight.